Ever get the feeling that, like, the most rebellious ideas, they're bubbling under the surface, hidden in plain sight? Well, that's where we're headed today. Deep, deep, deep into the world of punk. But hold on to your safety pins, because this isn't about, like, ripped fishnets or mohawks or any of that. It's about the evolution of punk ideology. We're joined by an expert to help unpack some fascinating new research from Marie-Lena Tupou at Scenaria DNA. They've analyzed how the language of punk has transformed from its early days to its online presence today.
What's so captivating about this research is that it uses language as a lens to understand these cultural shifts. It's like we're taking an X-ray of a movement, revealing its inner workings.
Okay, so less about mosh pits and more about wordplay. Tell me more about this linguistic X-ray.
So Tupou's team at Scenaria DNA use a technique called culture mapping, which essentially categorizes language to uncover underlying motivations and strategies. Think of it as like decoding the DNA of a movement by analyzing the words its members use.
All right. I'm intrigued. How does this culture mapping work in practice?
So Tupou's team identified four key classifications of language: residual, dominant, emergent, and disruptive. Each category offers clues about how a group is thinking, how they're operating.
So walk us through these classifications. What makes each one unique?
So think of residual language as those leftover traces of past ways of thinking. Like echoes of previous movements. Dominant language represents the mainstream. Like the accepted views. Emergent language, this is where things get interesting. These are the fresh, raw expressions that are like challenging the norm.
And disruptive language. That sounds that sounds like it could shake things up.
Disruptive language is about fundamentally challenging the system, proposing those radical alternatives, rejecting the status quo.
So how does all of this apply to the evolution of punk? Where does punk language fit into these categories?
That's where things get really, really fascinating. Tupou found that original punk from the 70s and 80s relied heavily on emergent language. Think raw, emotional expressions of rebellion, frustration. But when they looked at contemporary punk online...
We're talking about those digital subcultures. Cyberpunks, cryptopunks, that whole world.
They saw a marked increase in disruptive language. This suggests a shift from simply expressing discontent to actively seeking to dismantle and rebuild systems.
So instead of just shouting about the problems, today's punks are more interested in proposing solutions, even radical ones. But is that the whole story? From what I've seen online, the landscape of digital activism and counterculture can feel pretty fragmented.
You've hit on a crucial point. While the shift towards disruptive language is significant, Tupou's research also uncovered a fascinating schism within contemporary punk.
You're saying there's a divide within punk itself.
The research identifies two distinct branches within contemporary punk, each with its own linguistic fingerprints. Individualist punk and influencer punk.
I need to get this straight. Individualist punk versus influencer punk. That sounds less like a mosh pit and more like a philosophical debate. What's the difference and how does language play into it?
You're picking up on a key point here. This is about different approaches to challenging the status quo. Think of individualist punk as the fiercely independent branch, focused on personal liberty, challenging authority, very much a DIY ethos.
So if individualist punk is all about I do what I want, what does that make influencer punk? Is it about like organizing digital protests and trending hashtags?
It's more about collective action and spreading awareness to drive change. This branch has a closer connection to the spirit of original punk, that sense of community and shared outrage, but amplified by online networks.
So less about individual rebellion and more about mobilizing a digital collective. That's a really interesting distinction. What are the practical differences we see in their language?
So when we look at the research, individualist punks lean towards disruptive language. It's about radical change driven by individual action, almost like each person is a micro revolution. We see this reflected in phrases like insert specific example from the research. Think cypherpunks, encrypting messages, prioritizing personal autonomy and data privacy. Whereas influencer punk language leans more towards emergent language, rallying cries, calls to action, a focus on shared values.
It sounds like influencer punks are the ones organizing online communities, pushing for social justice reforms, or challenging financial systems. Am I on the right track?
Absolutely. And what's fascinating is that both branches still share that core punk DNA of rebellion against the status quo.
Yeah.
But the schism in their language suggests a potential fragmentation of the movement itself.
So what does this all mean? Are we headed for a punk civil war?
Maybe not a war,
okay,
but certainly a point of tension. This research doesn't offer all the answers,
right,
but it does raise some critical questions about how these different approaches might play out in the digital age.
Okay, so time to dive into these potential benefits and dangers of this individualist punk versus influencer punk divide. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after a short break to break it all down. So we're back, and things are about to get really interesting as we unpack the potential impact of this individualist versus influencer punk divide. On the one hand, couldn't this diversity of tactics within the broader punk movement actually be a good thing, like different approaches for different challenges?
Yeah, that's a really insightful point, and one that Tupat explores in her research. Having individualist punks out there pushing boundaries and disrupting systems while influencer punks rally the digital masses,
right,
could create a really powerful force for change. It's almost like a two-pronged attack on the status quo.
Okay, I'm seeing the potential upside here.
Yeah.
But what about the downside? What are the risks of this schism in punk ideology?
Well, the most significant risk is fragmentation. If individualist punks and influencer punks diverge too far in their methods and in their language, they could lose that sense of shared identity and purpose that defines the punk movement.
So instead of a united front pushing for change, we might end up with a bunch of smaller factions each doing their own thing and potentially diluting the overall impact.
Exactly. And it's not just a theoretical concern. Tupac points to some real-world examples of how this individualist punk ideology is already playing out.
Okay, give us an example. Who embodies this individualist punk spirit in action?
One example Tupac highlights is Elon Musk.
Wait, hold on. Elon Musk, the guy who launches rockets and tweets memes. He doesn't exactly scream punk rock to me.
I know it seems counterintuitive, but let's think about it through the lens of this research.
Okay.
The core of individualist punk is about challenging norms and structures, right? Disrupting the status quo, pushing boundaries, even if it means going it alone.
Okay. And I can kind of see that with Musk. He's out there building spaceships, colonizing Mars, doing things his own way.
And that's precisely the connection Tupac is making. She argues that Musk's ventures, particularly with Starlink and his goal of creating this privately owned satellite internet network, embody this individualist punk approach, but on a massive scale.
Wow.
On the one hand, he's driving innovation and pushing technological boundaries, but on the other,
right,
there are valid questions about the potential consequences of concentrating so much control over something as essential as global communication in the hands of one person.
Well, it's like good intentions, but with some potentially concerning implications.
Oh.
A bit of a double-edged safety pin, if you will.
Exactly. And that brings us back to the core of Tupou's research. She's not saying that individualist punk is inherently good or bad.
Right.
She's highlighting how crucial it is to understand the nuances of these ideological shifts and what they mean for the future of dissent and social change.
This is really making me think about the different ways people are trying to make their voices heard,
yeah,
and create change in the digital age.
Yeah.
It's not always about being the loudest voice, but about finding the most effective way to disrupt and challenge the status quo.
Precisely. And while Elon Musk might be a more controversial example, there are countless other examples of how these linguistic trends are playing out online. Tupou's research focused on punk, but these dynamics can be found across a wide range of digital subcultures and social movements.
So how can we use this understanding of language and ideology to navigate these complex digital landscapes? What can we learn from punk's evolution, even if we don't necessarily identify with the movement itself?
That's a great question, and a perfect segue into the broader implications of this research. By paying attention to how people use language,
okay,
we can gain a deeper understanding of their motivations, their strategies, and the potential for both collaboration and conflict.
So it's not just about the words themselves, but about what those words reveal about the people using them.
Exactly. And by applying this kind of linguistic analysis to different groups and movements, we can gain a more nuanced understanding of how they operate and what drives them.
This is all incredibly fascinating, but it also feels a bit daunting. How can we, as individuals, possibly keep up with all these linguistic shifts and ideological divides?
That's where a structured analytic approach can be so helpful. By applying frameworks like Tupou's culture mapping,
great,
we can cut through the noise and start to see the underlying patterns in how groups communicate and evolve.
So it's like having a set of tools or a guidebook to help us make sense of the digital landscape.
Exactly. It's about developing a more critical and analytical ear for language, learning to recognize the subtle cues that reveal the underlying motivations and strategies at play.
This is really giving me a whole new perspective on the power of language. It's not just about conveying information. It's about shaping culture, driving action, and revealing the hidden dynamics within groups and movements.
Absolutely. And as we become more attuned to these linguistic nuances, we become more informed participants in these digital conversations and can navigate these complex landscapes with greater awareness and understanding.
It sounds like we need to add a new tool to our digital survival kits, a linguistic decoder ring.
That's a fantastic way to put it. And the great thing is, this skill of linguistic analysis isn't limited to academics or researchers. Anyone can develop it with a bit of practice and the right tools.
This has been incredibly insightful, and it's really got me thinking about the future of punk and other subcultures in this constantly evolving digital world. But before we get completely lost in the metaverse, I want to bring us back to one of the initial questions we posed. Early on, we talked about how fascinating it is to see how the language of punk has evolved. And you hinted that there might be broader implications to these trends.
Right.
So is this punk schism between individualist and influencer punk something we're seeing elsewhere? Is this a sign of how all movements evolve in the digital age?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? While this research focused specifically on punk, the insights it offers extend far beyond any single subculture. What we're really talking about here is the fragmentation of ideology itself in the digital age.
So it's not just about punks or any one group,
right?
But about how we understand the evolution of any movement, belief system, or even just a shared idea in a world where everyone has a platform and a voice.
Precisely. Think about it, in the past, if you wanted to challenge the status quo, you had to find like-minded individuals, form groups, and navigate the challenges of physical organization.
Yeah.
But the internet changed all that.
Right.
Now people with shared interests or grievances can connect instantly, regardless of physical location.
But that also means more potential for splintering, right? With so many voices and perspectives, it's easier for movements to fracture into smaller, more niche groups.
Exactly. And that's where this linguistic analysis becomes so valuable.
Okay.
By paying attention to not just what people are saying, but how they're saying it,
right,
we can start to map those fault lines within a movement.
Okay.
Anticipate potential areas of conflict.
Got it.
And maybe even find ways to bridge those divides.
So it's like having a roadmap to navigate these complex digital landscapes.
Exactly. And just like any roadmap, it doesn't tell you exactly where to go,
right,
but it helps you understand the terrain, the potential obstacles, and the different paths available.
This has been an incredible deep dive, and it's really got me thinking about how I can apply this kind of linguistic awareness in my own life.
Yeah.
So before we wrap up, what's one key takeaway you hope our listeners will carry with them?
That's easy. Words matter.
Okay.
But more than that, the way we use language, the subtle cues and patterns in our communication can reveal a lot more than we realize. By paying closer attention to those nuances, we can become more informed, discerning,
right,
and ultimately more effective participants in the ongoing conversation about how we shape our world.
That's a perfect note to end on. Thank you so much for joining us on this fascinating journey into the ever-evolving world of punk and beyond.
It's been my pleasure.
And to our listeners, thanks for joining us on the Deem Dive. We'll catch you next time, ready to explore a whole new set of ideas and uncover the hidden patterns shaping our world.